If you have your Bibles, we invite you to take them, turn with us. We have been traveling together as pilgrims on a journey. We are traveling together on the Song of Ascents. These Psalms, Psalm 120 to 134, they are pilgrim songs. They are believed to have been sung by the children of Israel on at least maybe one or two or three different occasions, and some believe that they were, as they traveled to the three festivals to Jerusalem, pilgrims would sing these psalms, these songs. As they left the Babylonian captivity, they would sing these songs. They're going to Jerusalem, to the city of God, where the presence of God is. And then some believe all the steps going up to the temple, they would take a step and sing a psalm, and then take another step and sing a song, and take another step and sing a song as they were coming into the temple of God. The people of Israel were called the children of God because everything centered around their relationship with God. And as we discovered in the first psalm, they were, that psalmist was really living out the outskirts, really in a bad neighborhood. And because he was living in that bad neighborhood, he just longed for the presence of God, the peace of God, the love of God. And so he's singing that. And this is our journey together. And we are together now in Psalm 123. And I would title this psalm as a servant's focus. Psalm 123, but I have a question to ask you this morning, and when we think about service, and that is, you know, sometimes we think of those who are waiting on us. We go into our favorite coffee shop, and they will wait on us, and if we're familiar enough, they will know what we like, and they will already have it ready. I loved coming to Zephyr Hills early in my ministry here, because I discovered that this church has a second office established by a wonderful pastor called Pastor Paul Bartnick, and it was Sonny's Barbecue. And we would occasionally visit this place, and as we visited this place, the waitresses, the servers got to know us, or at least they got to know me. They already knew Paul. And before we even sat down, they knew what we liked. They knew the beverage. And they pretty much knew the order, unless we were trying to be tricky and mix it up. But they were serving us. Sometimes we think of service as, you know, those who do housekeeping and take care of things for us. But the question is, who do you serve? Who do you serve? Bob Dylan in the late 80s, you know, might have followed him if you are a fan of that. But he was in Judaism, and then he had a conversion to Christianity, and he wrote a whole album of Christian music entitled, the album called Slow Train Coming. One of the songs on that album was, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." And the line goes, "It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody." So the question this morning is, who do you serve? Who do you serve? The psalmist says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. So let's look at the scripture this morning. And as you can see, there's a picture there of these tourists. They are outside the temple steps, and what they have open is the Word of God, and they are reading together these psalms. So they would step on a step and read Psalm 120, and then they would go to the next step and read Psalm 121, and then they'd go to the next step and read Psalm 122, all the way to 134, till they entered into the presence of Almighty God. As a pilgrim, I trust that you are longing to be in the presence of God. So let's see what the Word says this morning. This is the English Standard Version. It says here, to you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us. For we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. The New Living Translation says it this way, I lift my eyes to you, O God, enthroned in heaven. We keep looking to the Lord our God for his mercy, just as servants keep their eyes on their master, as a slave girl watches her mistress for the slightest signal. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy, for we have had our fill of contempt. We have had more than our fill of the scoffing of the proud and the contempt of the arrogant. If you have been a follower of Jesus for any time and you are traveling life's road on a journey and you're walking through this world, has there ever been a moment in your life where you've longed for the presence of God to just come and say, Lord, you've got to straighten this out. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I've had enough. I'm up to here. I can't take it any longer. Don't you see? Don't you care? Maybe you've cried out in that respectful humility as the psalmist does here. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. This psalm is only four verses, but it is rich. Charles Stanley said this, there may be many reasons why God does not immediately answer our prayers for help and mercy. He has a better plan, greater blessings, or knows something we do not know. And one thing is sure, he instructs us to keep on asking until he responds. Then he sends his blessings. You know that in Luke 18. Luke chapter 18 and verses 1 through 8. If you want to turn there real quickly over there. Jesus is giving his disciples a parable. And he says there, he says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because of this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And Jesus again here was teaching his disciples that need to be persistent to keep on praying before the Lord that need. And here I believe this psalm, this psalmist, this singer of this song in Psalm 123, he is singing a song to the Lord, mercy God, have mercy. I've had enough. I'm filled with contempt. We see here in the ESV, the eyes are mentioned four times. We see mercy's mentioned three times. The Lord is mentioned twice, and contempt is mentioned twice. But these songs were to be sung as they went up into the presence of the Lord. Longing for God to help, longing for God to bring relief, longing for God to bring aid. The pilgrims walking toward the heavenly Jerusalem, they were walking We who follow the Lord, we know that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We are servants following Jesus who suffered and died on our behalf. We are servants waiting to hear the Lord's word so we can joyfully obey. The psalmist described our relationship with God using the metaphor of a maid looking to her mistress for directions and provisions. And we are focused not on our own glory, but on obeying the Lord's word. And we are servants attending to the divine word. This should be our prayer. So as we ask that question, who do you serve? As a follower of Jesus, we are called servants. But Jesus even raises the bar and he calls us friends. In John 15, 15, he calls us friends. And we see here that as a follower, I'm looking to him. And I'm looking to his hand as the master. And I'm looking to him, and I'm calling for him to speak into my life. So I find three truths, and there are more than that in this passage this morning. But the first is there is a relationship that the servant has developed with his master. There's a relationship. I'm a servant, he's my master. He owns everything. He owns me, every part of me. As a follower of Jesus, I've submitted to him. I've not just asked him to come into my life and save me from the grip of hell for fire insurance. No, I've surrendered my life so he is my Lord and my master. Where he says I will go, I will go. What he says I am to do, I will do. He's my master. Sometimes we get that backwards in the Western church. We say, oh, I'm going to come to Jesus. I come to Jesus. He's going to take away all my problems, all my worries, all my concerns. And so as I come to him and I ask him as a magical genie, God, do this for me. Poof. Be my servant. Poof. And what happens? Sometimes God in his mercy might answer that prayer. Sometimes he doesn't. And we scratch our head, well, why didn't that work? Because I'm still on the throne in my life. I haven't surrendered. I haven't taken my ear to the doorpost, as they say in the Old Testament, as a slave would say, Master, I don't want to go anywhere else where you've set me free, but I want you to take that and pierce my ear so I belong to you. I surrender all to you, all my thoughts, all my desires, all my wants, all my wishes. Yet in the Western church, we say, Lord, meet my needs. Help me to have this life of ease and comfort. Don't send me to Africa. But here, this servant, this pilgrim says, I'm going to Jerusalem to be in the presence of God, to linger in his presence, to worship him. And why? Because I'm all in. I'm all his. He owns me. I have a relationship with him. It's not just a get out of hell card. I have a relationship with him. Do you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know him? Do you love him? Do you hear when his Spirit speaks to you from his word? Do you long to be in his presence? Are you eager like this servant has developed a relationship with his master, a maidservant with her mistress, maybe a disciple with their teacher, the worshiper with their God? I see the master here as he has this relationship with the servant. He does several things. The master, first of all, provides the needs of the servant. Verse 1, I lift up my eyes, says the servant, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. In other words, I'm lifting up my eyes. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I've just sung that. But now I'm lifting up my eyes and I see that God is high and lifted up. Like Isaiah looked and saw God on the throne. I am looking up and I see that God is on his throne. In heaven, he is still in charge. He is ruling. He is reigning. And that means that he is our resource. He is the source of all. He is the one to go out to when one is in need. He is the supplier of all my needs. And so I look to the heavens and I see God is still on the throne. Many times we're looking down at our own problems. And we're not lifting up our eyes to the Lord and looking to him as the one who rules and reigns and is our resource. I also see that the master protects the servant in verse 2. So our eyes look to the Lord till he has mercy on us. The pilgrim is relying on God for protection, for safety, for strength to endure the hard times. He's doing the master's bidding. He's going where the master wants him to go, but he's also relying on the master not only to provide, but to protect. To protect. David had that confidence, you know, when he went to face Goliath. He said, I'm going to face this Philistine, but I don't go in my own strength. I go in the name of the Lord our God in his strength. And so what did God do? He did a mighty thing through a slingshot, right, and some pebbles. And took Goliath down. God did that. Our confidence should be in God's ability to protect us as his servant. Thirdly, I see that the master hears the petition of this servant here. He's saying, mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy. He's not bossing God around. He's not saying, God, I want you to do this. Now, sometimes in our prayer life, we might say that, Lord, I need you to do this and this and this. But he doesn't come with a heart filled with pride or a heart filled attitude of saying, oh, I'm God and God, you're my servant. No, no. This pilgrim's got it the right way. His priorities are correct. He realizes that he's the servant and God is the master. And he bows in humility and brokenness almost to the point of no return. And he's saying, mercy, God. Have mercy. Sometimes we're not convicted. We're not burdened. It's like maybe we're in a haze as we walk through this journey of faith. And we don't fall on our knees before the Lord in humility and brokenness. If my people who are called upon my name, will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear. Well, that's a beautiful promise. I will hear and I will answer, I'll restore. 2 Chronicles. The Lord hears our petitions. Mercy. It's amazing to me that the people of Israel cried out for over 400 years before God brought a deliverer, Moses. See, God works in ways, as they used to say in the old song, in ways we cannot see. And he will make a way for me. We have to trust him in this. Bring our petitions to him, as Charles Stanley urged us over and over again, like that widow Jesus said, to be persistent, have mercy. When was the last time you've asked the Lord for mercy? That you've cried out to him? I see here as well, the master imparts prudence to the servant. For we have had more than enough of contempt in verses 3 and 4. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of the contempt. Those who are at ease, the proud. Those who are rich around us. Prudence means that quality or fact of wise or judicious and practical affairs, discreet or circumspect. So careful in providing for the future. So the psalmist is saying, I am leaning on the master for his wisdom, for his discernment, for his insight, for his instruction, as I need his strength to endure this contempt and this scorn. I need his providential care to help me. I want the master's insight. I want his intervention. And I, as a servant, will show confidence what my master says and does. The master does all this for the servant. The servant knows this and understands it as he sings this song. But then I see, secondly, that there is a dependency, a trust that the servant has with his master. He trusts him. I'm looking to my master because he's in charge. I'm looking to my master because he knows what to do. I'm looking to my master because he will hear my plea. I'm looking to my master because he understands what I'm going through. I'm looking to my master that I may obey his word and please him. The servant is looking to their master as a follower of Jesus. We are to be looking to him for wisdom, guidance, instruction, deliverance, strength, help, and place our trust in his sovereignty and his care. Faith is not just wishful thinking. It's not wish-filled thinking either. Faith is confident trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Believing in him, believing, receiving, learning, obeying, following him, living for him. I am his servant. And that's all I want to be. The Apostle Paul stated this. He says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We see the supreme example of a servant in Jesus himself, don't we? When he came and gathered his disciples around him, but he was going to teach them something. A master would never take out his outer garment and robe and bend down and stoop and begin to wash his students, his disciples' feet. But Jesus started doing that, didn't he? A servant. Paul says, I've crucified with Christ. That crucifixion, that daily, day in and day out, I don't live for myself. It's not me, myself, and I. It's not, why do you think they call it an iPhone? An iPhone. Just throwing that out there. Me, myself, and I. We're not to live as a follower of Jesus for me, myself, and I. We are to live for Jesus Christ, to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ, to honor him in everything we do, everything we say, everything our thumbs can write. We are to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ as his servant. Yes, there are those around us who bring scorn in our life, who are laughing at us, who are mocking us, who are bringing contempt, and God knows that. He knows what's going on in your heart and your life. He knows. And he wants us to be trusting in him. Trusting in him. And to do that, we have to crucify self and surrender and come in humility before him. Thirdly, I see an anticipation. Waiting. There's a waiting that the servant has with his master. I like what the message says. Eugene Peterson writes it this way. He says this about this psalm. He says, and I believe I have it up here. He says it this way. I look to you, heaven-dwelling God. Look up to you for help. like servants alert to their master's commands, like a maiden attending her lady. We're watching and waiting, holding our breath, awaiting your word of mercy. Mercy, God, mercy. We've been kicked around long enough, kicked in the teeth by complacent rich men, kicked when we're down by arrogant brutes. It would be interesting to hear how the psalmist would sing this as a song. But Eugene Peterson here places the emphasis on the psalmist watching and waiting, holding our breath, awaiting your word of mercy. It's just like, Lord, I'm pleading mercy, and I'm just... I'm waiting. Psalmist says in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. I'm waiting. When was the last time that you removed all the busyness out of your schedule, all the obstacles out of your life, and you took some time, you carved it out, and you just sat in the presence of the Lord, waiting, listening, longing to hear the Master's word to your soul? Psalmist says we're watching, we're waiting, we're holding our breath, awaiting your word of mercy. He's anticipating. He's eagerly listening for the Master, not only to respond to his prayer, but to give his word. And his word is mercy. God's word is mercy. There are those out there who say, well, God, you know, he's up there and you're down here. He doesn't care about you because he's up there and you're down there, and he's going to make your life miserable. He just might send you to Africa. Randy and Marcia's here today, and they would say that's a wonderful place to be, to serve the Most High God, isn't it? Yeah. Waiting on him. So this servant, this pilgrim is anticipating, he's waiting, he's eager to hear from his master this word of mercy. God's not out to get me. God's going to show mercy to me. I'm going to receive mercy as a servant. I'm not going to receive scorn like those around who don't call upon the name of the Lord. I'm not going to be in contempt like those around me or showing me contempt. No, I'm going to receive his mercy. What do you do when you receive the mercy of God? When he shows you his hand of mercy. Oh, the Lord is amazing. He's amazing. Because the Master will give him his word, and he'll give him strength for endurance, and he will bring deliverance. The contempt and scorn that he's experiencing will be eradicated. It was interesting this past week. I got the privilege to accompany my son. In fact, I drove him to the doctor. He had a doctor's visit. Jared did. So we were driving in Tampa, and I'm driving, and so forth. And I'm going to confess to you. So we're driving. We're coming into the parking lot, and I am parking lot challenged. It happens. So I'm making a left into this parking lot. There's a big red SUV, and then on this side, there's a little car that was kind of back a little bit. So I swung a little wide to miss that car, and as I'm swinging a little wide on the right, hit that car. I scraped it. We heard this. And I'm thinking, oh, that was just the wheels. That was just the tires, you know? Right? So we get out. My poor son's embarrassed. Oh, man. Dad. And I say, yeah. No, I think I just scraped it. I get out. I look at it, and there's my car's black. Their car's red, but there's white on their wheel. Oh, I just skimmed the wheel. No, then I look at the door. There's some skimming there on the door. And I'm going, oh, no. Now, to make matters more exciting, the owner of the car was in the front seat. So, she gets out of the car. Lovely lady. And I just, what do? That moment. Do you bark in your Irishness? Well, you shouldn't have parked your SUV there. What on the earth are you thinking? No. No. I said, I am so sorry. I misjudged. I hit. She was just shaken. Okay? She can imagine. And so I said, well, here's my card, Reverend Ted O'Farrell. I am so sorry. I'm a pastor. I have good insurance. She goes, she's Hispanic. My husband is going to call you. I said, please let him call me. I need him to call me. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I said, it looks like it might buff out, but I'm really sorry. So we went on our way and got through his doctor's appointment, came home, and that was late afternoon. By 7 o'clock, nothing. I hadn't heard anything. I'm thinking, maybe, sometimes these people, they don't have insurance, so they're not going to call me. Or sometimes, they're driving without a license, so they're not going to call me, right? 10:30 that night, I get a call from her husband, who's Hispanic. Wonderful man. He goes, are you Ted? Yes, I'm Ted. He goes, I want to know one thing. Was it my wife's fault or your fault? It's the first thing he said to me, my wife's fault or your fault? I said, oh, it was my fault. All my fault. Oh, really? He says, because she's been in 3 accidents before. And then he goes on and explains to me the 3 accidents, okay, that she has been in. One of them, the motor engine caught on fire. I mean, so he's saying, I just got new tires. I said, they were lovely tires. They're nice tires. They're great tires. I just want to know. I said, yes. I said, well, I have good insurance. It's with State Farm. Oh, I've got State Farm too. I said, good. Well, we can change numbers. Everything will be fine. He goes, oh, well. He goes, you're a pastor? I go, yes. He goes, oh. He says, well, I think I'm looking at it now. He says, I was asleep, I work at night. He goes, she was really good to me. She got me dinner, let me rest, got up, and then she told me this. He says, but I'm looking at it, I think I can buff it out. I said, that's great. He goes, I only want one thing of you. I go, yes, sir. What? He says, I would like for you to pray for me and my family. I said, oh yeah. Yes, I would be happy to pray for you. And so I got to pray with him over the phone. I said, can we pray right now? He goes, oh yes. I said, okay, let's pray. So I prayed for him. He says, I want you to keep praying for me. I said, you better believe it. I'm going to keep praying for you. You see, you know what that was a demonstration of? Mercy. Mercy. I was guilty, hands down. But he showed mercy. And out of that mercy became an offering of prayer to the Most High God. The Lord will bring people into your heart and into your life. And it may be a difficult situation. They may be those people, like this psalmist says, oh, that person's filled with scorn toward me or contempt. And this servant is crying out for mercy so that Christ will be honored and exalted. Wow. Blessed be his name. Amen. All right. The hymn writer wrote it this way, the Savior can solve every problem. The tangles of life can undo. He can undo. There is nothing too hard for Jesus. There is nothing that he cannot do. We must go to the shepherd of our souls, humbly expecting him to answer. So one more question for us this morning, and that is, what is the Lord saying to you today from his word? Oh, that we would be men and women of God who not only love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, but we love our neighbor as ourself. And that we show Christ to those around us. So are you experiencing any scorn and contempt? Are you eagerly looking to God for mercy? May we seek his mercy and deliverance like this song, this psalm tells us to do. Peter kind of put it this way. He said, let him have all your worries and cares. For he, hallelujah, he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. What an amazing God we have to put our hope and trust in. Continue to develop that relationship with him. Continue to trust and wait on him, because he will see you through. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we are just humbly before you this morning, thanking you, hallelujah, for your mercy. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. But you, O God, has laid on him the iniquity of us all because of your mercy and love and grace. And we humbly bow before you, God, crying out mercy, but crying out thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your presence. May we long to be people who want to be in your presence, to continually to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, and to naturally, supernaturally demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Thank you for being with us. Thank you that you've overcome the world. There's nothing too hard for you, O God. And we praise you for that. May we find strength in you. And may you receive all the glory as we walk the pilgrim's walk of faith. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.